Today, we will delve into divine healing, which is the third item among the fivefold gospel. The dictionary defines divine healing as healing through divine intervention, as in response to prayer, or because of faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find how the works of the Holy Spirit are manifested for the benefit of believers. The chapter mentions the gift of healing, which concerns the divine healing. Among various gifts, such as the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, etc., the gift of healing, namely the divine healing, is included as one of the fivefold gospel. It carries such significance because healing works brought about revivals in the early churches and played a crucial role in our Lord's ministry. Healing works took place wherever Jesus went. The blind came to see, the deaf began to hear, and the crippled began to walk and leap. People were healed of a variety of diseases, including leprosy, and even the dead were brought back alive. God, who is ever the same yesterday and today, heals us through His people and manifests signs and wonders. But technically, the healing works performed by our Lord, His apostles Peter and Paul, differ from the works of the gift of healing. Among many kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles, the gift of healing is limited to the healing of diseases. Remembering that people brought handkerchief or aprons from Paul's body to the sick, and even wanted Peter's shadow to fall on them, we can infer that their works went beyond the healing of diseases. Such works, which were manifested on a higher and greater level, are referred to as the works of power. In describing Deacon Stephen from the early church, Acts chapter 6 verse 8 says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people." The verse doesn't say that he was full of grace and had a great gift of healing. Instead, it says he was full of grace and power and performed great wonders and signs. Such a level where God's works are manifested as signs and wonder is categorized as power. So, divine healing and power are different in spiritual sense. But what we are talking about today is not just about the gift of healing, but the power of God manifested in the form of all kinds of signs and wonders. Please keep in mind that in today's message, this term, divine healing, shall cover all the works manifested by God's power. From now on, we will explore third item of the fivefold gospel, divine healing. As we go over our denomination's doctrines, which clarify the fivefold gospel, we find the following statement on the divine healing, which goes, "We believe in the divine healing by which we are healed of physical diseases by God's power, because we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ." This statement is followed by detailed explanations, but we'll just focus on this statement to talk about the divine healing. First, divine healing is made possible by Jesus' redeeming grace. Jesus' crucifixion carries profound spiritual meanings. As the Son of God, Jesus left behind all the glory, was flogged and wore the crown of thorns and nailed through His hands and feet, and shed all His blood and water. Each and every torment He suffered is embedded with God's amazing love. Although I cannot share all the secrets explained in the Message of the Cross series today, let me just remind you of Jesus' pain of being flogged and bleeding. Even as the Son of God, Jesus suffered the pain of being flogged and bleeding on account of our sins and transgressions. Isaiah chapter 53 reminds us that Jesus bore our griefs and sorrows. It says, "He was pierced through for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities, the chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. When God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning, there was no disease or agony. There was neither disaster nor death. Namely, in the Garden of Eden was no disease or death. It started since Adam was driven out onto the earth. As the first man Adam committed sin, all things under his rule became subject to curse along with him. It said in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." All men became subject to physical death and all diseases, agony, and infirmities, as well as spiritual death. This wasn't just the case with human beings. We find in Romans chapter 8, verse 21, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. All things in the first heaven where Adam began to live after he was expelled from the garden were cursed along with him. From this point on, germs, viruses, and dirty things began to exist. Moreover, environmental pollution gave rise to diseases and inborn or acquired infirmities. The root cause of all diseases is sins. Because all diseases and infirmities originate from sins, before Jesus healed people of diseases, He gave them forgiveness first. When Jesus healed a paralytic, He didn't say, "Get healed." Mark chapter 2, verse 5 says, "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" Even when He healed a man in Bethesda who had been ill for 38 years, He said in John chapter 5, verse 14, "Behold, you have done well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." This indicates that Jesus healed a man by resolving his problems of sins, and that if he committed sin again, he could get stricken with a more serious disease. From this, we find that all diseases stem from sins. To heal us of diseases, Jesus had to resolve our problems of sin. For this reason, He was flogged and shed His blood. It said in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, "And by His scourging we are healed." Divine healing is made possible by Jesus Christ's redeeming grace. At the divine healing meeting in January, many of those who were healed testified that they discovered their evil and repented of it prior to their healing. Particularly, I was deeply impressed by a senior deaconess, Young Hae Park, who was healed of otitis externa. As a young girl, she had water leak into her ear and had suffered from hearing problem for almost 60 years. After she gained a spiritual awakening recently, she got healed of it. When senior pastor declared that the last year was the year of blessing, she accepted the word with faith and had a spiritual blessing by which she discovered and changed herself. She realized that even though she thought she suggested good things to others, they felt burdened by her. She began to look back on herself and pray. Because she was suggesting something good, she didn't think she was giving them a hard time, but she found out that they were troubled by her. Thinking how troubled they must have been by her, she repented with tears, discovered her self-righteousness and frameworks, and changed herself. Having received that spiritual blessing, while she received senior pastor's recorded prayer for the sick on January 2nd, she had a conviction that something good would happen. And the following day, she felt like picking her ear. And then a stone-like material, which was over 1 centimeter long, came out. Thereafter, even when she picked her ear, it didn't hurt and she began to hear well with both ears. Let's give thanks and glory to Father. Hearing this testimony, I was happy how good the gospel of holiness is. While there are many people who fail to cast off sins revealed outwardly, it is not easy for a person to discover and give up his self-righteousness and frameworks. People may picture themselves growing in wisdom and consideration as they get older, but in reality, many people become more obstinate, stubborn, by developing stronger self-righteousness and frameworks. Of course, this is the case with worldly people who don't know the truth. Living 60 or 70 years, they've insisted on what they think is right and solidify their thoughts. So it's really a big challenge to change them. Also, it is really not easy to put themselves in other shoes and find out they are troubling or burdening them. One of my acquaintances, she is about 70 years of age, and she always quarrels with his wife. She likes to have coffee. He likes to sip coffee while reading newspaper. But his wife is different. She cleans up the house quickly, and so she doesn't like her husband sipping coffee slowly. So she keeps asking him, "Are you done? Did you drink it up?" So her husband cries out of anger. "All right, I will clean up the house." Every morning, this happens. According to him, this happened over 10 or 20 times. But even nowadays, I heard that they quarrel each other every morning. But so, which means it is not easy to be considerate of each other. But Senior Deaconess Park is 67 years of age because she strived to pray and change herself according to the gospel of holiness. She was blessed to break her self-righteousness and frameworks and receive healing. Because she discovered the areas God was not pleased with and turned from her ways, she could be healed of a disease that had long tormented her. We also have a divine healing meeting this month, and special Daniel prayer meeting is going on. I urge you to reflect on yourself with the words of sanctification. Realize what kind of person the Father wants you to be. Repent and receive His answer. Second, divine healing takes place by God's power. Although there is no question that divine healing happens by the power of God, I emphasize this for those who doubt that divine healing comes from God. Signs and wonders, including divine healing, is one of the means that God uses to manifest Himself. Of course, those with a good heart believe in God even without signs and wonders. As said in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." If a person opens the door to his heart, he can know about the living God. Among our ancestors were those who acknowledged and feared the Almighty One, even though they hadn't heard about God the Creator. But what about people in the end time? Friedrich Nietzsche was a German philosopher back in 1800s. Even though he was born a pastor's son and attended a seminary, he declared, "God is dead." He told people not to listen to the people sharing about heaven, but to focus on this earthly life. Considering that this was more than 100 years ago, how worse would it be now? Based on an unverified hypothesis, they deny the creation. Humans have only gone as far as to reach the moon, which is smaller than a grain of sand in the universe. But they speak as if they'd seen everything. They refuse to believe in the invisible God. Even though God cannot show Himself to sinners in a visible form, He demonstrates His existence through His power. As said in John chapter 4, verse 48, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. God manifests Himself through signs and wonders. When He brought the Israelites from Egypt, God performed signs through the 10 plagues to make them know that He was speaking through Moses, as written in Exodus chapter 8, verse 22. In order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. Upon Mount Carmel, He sent down fire in answer to Elijah's cry to demonstrate that He is a true God. The enemy devil must have sent down fire for the idol worshippers if only they had been able to do so. But they were not able, because signs, wonders, and power are possible only by God. What about our Jesus? Jesus' public ministry can largely be divided into three categories: teaching the truth, sharing the gospel of heaven, and healing the sick. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 say, Jesus was going through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about Him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and He healed them. His ministry continued through His disciples. As we read in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. The disciples proclaimed about the Lord's resurrection and His second coming. Divine healing, signs, wonders manifested by our Lord happened by God's power. But there are people who have a different point of view. They claim that the enemy devil also has such power. When our Lord healed a person who was blind and mute with demon possession, the Pharisees remarked as follows: this man casts out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. In reply, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 26, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? We also read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The enemy devil brings us diseases and agony. They can never heal, answer, or bless anyone. There is no way that they let people glorify God by healing or blessing them. The gift of divine healing takes place by God's power, and it is the blessing given us through Jesus Christ, who bore our sins and redeemed us. How does senior pastor pray for the sick people? About a year ago, when senior pastor prayed for Deacon Dusuk Yoon, who'd been tormented with urolithiasis, he dropped to his knees and prayed earnestly for him, who was crying in extreme pain. Later, Deacon Yoon confessed that the pain disappeared immediately as soon as he saw senior pastor. He described the moment as follows: he was like a father who gave up all of himself, and there seemed to be nothing left of him. Seeing him, I broke into tears, because he loves the souls more than himself. He's always prayed for them earnestly. Because he only relies on God, who is the healer, he always prays in a humble and earnest manner. It was the same when he prayed at the Crusades. You heard the testimony this morning. During the 10th anniversary of Muan Sweet Water, you saw how the weather was like. As for me, I check the weather in more detail because the performing arts team visited Muan to perform. So the fine dust was very serious, and the related agencies told us not to do any outdoor activities. So the performing the performers had to dance and praise outside and had to breathe a lot of air. So I was very concerned. So I checked the weather on my cell phone, and when I checked it on Wednesday 4 p.m. The weather, according to the weather forecast, the super fine dust. Even though I believed in God, I was concerned. And the next day, at 8 a.m., the performers departed for Muan, and I checked my cell phone again. Still, it was forecast that the super fine dust would. The fine dust situation was expected to be bad during the day. But what happened after that? And I checked my cell phone and the weather situation at 11 a.m. And it said that the fine dust, the air quality was good. Just a few hours ago, the air condition was bad, but it changed into good. Like this, Father God demonstrates the evidence of His being with us. We cannot say this is a coincidence. So, such healing works happen by our Jesus Christ's redeeming grace and by Father God's power. Third, we are healed of physical disease through divine healing. Divine healing has two kinds. One has a broader meaning and is referred to as general divine healing. Even though a person is not healed of a specific disease, he can enjoy good health in God's protection and grace. Such cases fall under the category of general divine healing. As said in today's scripture, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and keep all His commandments, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. Living a healthy life without a disease is possible by God's grace and power. Many of you don't see a doctor during the, as you've seen from I was very impressed by the testimony. And a few days ago, Mrs. Bong-Nim Lee confessed that she and her family members have never seen a doctor for the last over 40 years, and she takes great pride in that. Even though she is well advanced in years, she leads prayer meeting day and night and is working harder than any other time. Amen. She is a living witness, testifying that if we fear God, we are kept from all diseases. Like this, living a healthy life and being protected from diseases falls under the category of general divine healing. But if a person is healed of a particular disease by God's power, this is called special divine healing. Back in 2008, Senior Pastor delivered a sermon for sick people under the title, God the Healer. He explained in detail about the causes of diseases. Earlier, I reminded you that diseases originate from sins, but there are cases where people get stricken with the disease without having committed a work of flesh. Generally, committing sins that cause God's wrath or repeatedly disobeying God's commandment is a spiritual reason for diseases. But he talked about cases where people get a disease without having committed any work of flesh. First, if we don't cherish our body but fail to take good care of it, we could come down with the disease. Some people strain their body beyond their physical limits. Others follow irregular meal patterns. As a result, they hurt their stomach, which lead to various diseases. This results from their breaking the physical order and the justice, so they have to repent of not having taken proper care of their body. Senior pastor compared this to driving a luxury car. Let's say you got an expensive luxury car. Wouldn't you care take extra care of it to protect it from getting a scratch? But how could our body be compared to a luxury car? We have to cherish our body, which was given by God, not violating the justice of this world. Second, we may get diseases due to many factors. If we are constantly under stress with worries and concerns or hold back sorrow, anger, and hatred, we may get a disease. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 encourages us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." If we have faith, we have to always stay joyful and thankful and pray. But if we fail to do so and fall into grief, we may get stricken with the disease. As said in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up bones." If our disease were caused by fierce anger or hatred, we would have to repent all the more. If someone forces us to go 1 mile, Jesus told us to go with him too. If someone, having been told to bless and love our enemies, if we pile up hatred and anger, we can't help but have a mental disease, which may lead to a disease. Some people burst with anger they've suppressed inside. Others who often have outbursts of anger collapse due to a stroke. Thus, only after they repented of having piled up such hatred and anger can they be healed. Lastly, there are diseases inflicted by the enemy devil. Controlled by Satan or possessed by a demon, some people have a mental disorder. Besides, they suffer from a physical handicap or disease caused by it. In many cases, severe depression has to do with harassing of the evil spirits. People with such diseases are often found in idol-worshipping families. The Bible says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." God said that to worship an idol is to hate him. It is a sin God detests most. Some people who don't know about God worship stars or other creatures. Others, however, go as far as to surrender their heart and soul, because this is an act of opposing God. Its aftermath lasts until their third or fourth generations. Consequently, their family is continually afflicted with depression, mental disorder, etc. But even in such families, a person with good faith can put an end to such curse. The Bible says, "But if the wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, and observes all my statutes, and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered against him, and he will live." If a person turns from all his sins and practices righteousness, he will not die, but live. Moreover, if he achieves sanctification, because he can keep all the words, he can be protected from all diseases. All things go well with him, and he enjoys good health, as much as he casts off sins and evil and recovers God's image. His spirit can keep his soul and body under control, so he enjoys all the better health. So far, we've talked about God who heals us. There isn't a single disease which can't be healed by God. Even though God, who is almighty, can heal anyone, it's not that whoever comes to church and receives prayer can be healed. Then, why do some people fail to be healed while others receive healing? Above all, healing requires us to have faith. When Jesus healed a paralytic brought before him by his friends, Jesus saw their faith and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Matthew chapter 9 provides a scene where Jesus talked with two blind men. As Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They reply, "Yes, Lord." And hearing this, he said, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." Then their blind eyes were opened. Even though you say, "I believe," you have to examine whether you indeed have faith worthy of his answer. Deacon Jung Chun Kim from Chinese parish suffered a serious back injury after falling off the second floor. With his back bent after the injury, he wished he could straighten his back, and he was led to Mamin Church. Impressed by its spirit-filled atmosphere, he began to attend church, yet he didn't live by the commandments. While keeping the Sabbath, he didn't offer tithes. He returned to China without having experienced God's work. Even though he liked a church filled with the Spirit and abounding in love, he lacked faith for God's answer. As he attended our services through GCN, he saw testimonies from people worldwide. That's how he developed earnest desire to be healed. So he made his way back to Korea. Putting off getting a job, he attended Manmin's Prayer Center's Divine Healing Meeting and pleaded with God. His spiritual eyes opened, and the shepherd's messages sounded different. Realizing that he hadn't led a good Christian life, he thoroughly repented with tears and a runny nose. Then he felt blazing fire of the Spirit coming upon his back. On January 21st, while he was attending the Divine Healing Meeting, he received prayer from Mrs. Bong Yim Lee. After that, he was able to straighten his back and even bend it backwards. He wondered what was happening. He calls this day the Day of Miracle. While receiving the prayer, he felt indeed with firm assurance of healing, he decided to walk up on the stage to share his testimony. He testified that his back had straightened up, and in addition, he happily said that his eyesight improved and that he could clearly see a person seated far from him. Because such deeds of faith, God straightened his back. In addition, God restored his poor eyesight. Despite God's promise that he would heal us according to our faith, I've seen people who blamed God after failing to be healed, and those who doubted or denied others' healing testimonies. We find in Luke chapter 4, verse 27, "And there were many lepers in Israel in time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." Naaman was a highly regarded person in his nation. But when he visited Elisha living in Israel under their rule, the prophet Elijah didn't even come out, but only told him to go wash in the Jordan. At first, he was offended and wanted to go back. But, accepting his servant's advice, he changed his mind and obeyed, washing himself in the Jordan 7 times. After that, he was healed of leprosy and his skin became clean like that of a child. We need to demonstrate faith through deeds of obedience. Some people, however, even though they have to be healed urgently, they put priority on other things. Even though they say, "I want to be healed at the Divine Healing Meeting," they fail to obey. This is not faith. What kind of obedience and faith do you display to be healed? The deacon who was healed of his back problem came to Korea to be healed. He even put off earning a living to attend the Divine Healing Meeting. This is faith. Faith is not just to say, "I believe," but it is to demonstrate the evidence of your faith through deeds. We have endless testimonies of those worldwide who've been healed of diseases through senior pastor's recorded prayer for the sick. They merely received his recorded prayer while attending services on the internet, but they were healed according to their faith. During the Divine Healing Meeting in February, Johnny from India was healed of depression by receiving prayer on the internet. While he received the prayer, he felt someone touching his body, and after that, he was released from the depression. Other than this, we have a number of people who have been healed of depression or demon possession. As we heard this morning, the whole family who attended service and listened to the message of cross series, she was healed of demon possession. Such works of God were manifested in the Old Testament time during our Lord's public ministry and in the early churches throughout His disciples. Of course, during the spiritual dark ages when there were no prophets and when the early churches had lost their fervor, there were little works of healing. Here, I use the word little instead of no. Although there aren't records of healing works from those times, but I believe there were people who were miraculously healed by earnestly seeking God. Our church's doctrine also states, while our Lord was in the world, many sick people were healed. Even after His suffering, supernatural, divine healing works have continued to take place all around the world. That is true. We often hear of people who are healed of a disease or recover from the threshold of death by earnest prayer all around the world. Some people claim that the gospel through divine healing ended with the early churches, but that's not true. I try to find more about divine healing on the internet. I saw that some people claim that the divine healing ended in the period of early churches, but that is not true. Obviously, many people have prayed to God in our Lord's name, and in answer to their prayer, God has manifested Himself through supernatural works, signs, and wonders. Of course, some individuals bring down God's answer by their earnest prayer and faith. But as with Prophet Elijah and Apostles Peter and Paul, God demonstrates the evidence of His living all the more through His instruments. No one can deny this. As written in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. If handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, diseases were healed. Acts chapter 5, verse 15 also says, to such an extent that they even carry the sick out into the streets and lay them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any of them. Through God's chosen people, amazing healing works happen all the more frequently, just as we find in James chapter 5, verse 16. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Therefore, as mommy members, as the shepherd sheep, whom God has chosen and used, and to whom He has shown healing works, signs, and wonders, how thankful we should be. There are many Christians who have never experienced such things. But mommy members, thus, how thankful we should be as mommy members and the shepherd sheep. Let's give them thanks and glory to Father God. As the statement from our church's doctrine challenges us, we have to pray with all the more longing to experience God's works and diligently share God's glory that is revealed through us. Let me sum up the message. Today, we have delved into the statement on the divine healing from our church's doctrine. First, I reminded you that divine healing is possible by the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. Because diseases started by our sins, we can be healed when our problems of sin are resolved. I also told you that because our Lord went through suffering on behalf of us, we can be healed. So I emphasize that we solve our problems of sins to experience divine healing. Second, divine healing is possible by God's power. I mentioned that God demonstrates His power by way of wonders and signs. Third, we are healed of physical diseases through divine healing. We've learned that if we cast off sins and evil, thereby making our souls prosper, we can enjoy all the better health. Then, I added that we need to have faith to experience such healing works. Today, we've talked about divine healing, one of the items of the fivefold gospel. All its items carry with them spiritual secrets and principles. So if we figure them out and make spiritual knowledge of them, we can grow our faith and learn the secrets to receiving answers. But figuring out the Father's heart is as important as understanding these spiritual principles. Through the message on regeneration, we can figure out the love of the Father God who gave up His only Son to open the path of salvation for us. Through the message on sanctification, we can feel His desire to make us into His true children and share love with us. We can also feel God's deep love from today's message on divine healing. Another word for signs, wonders, and healing works is God's power, testifying to His living. But at the same time, they are embedded with the love of God who wants us to be set free from sins and enjoy good health. When a child gets sick, his parents would earnestly want him to be healed. So does our Father God. Jesus had mercy on the sick people who came before Him and healed them. Also, signs, wonders, and healing works carry the deep love of the Father who wants people to have faith and receive salvation by witnessing His supernatural works. A few days ago, I was invited to speak at a particular mission group. To prepare a message for them, I prayed during the Daniel prayer meeting. I actually lamented that their heart for the Father wasn't like what it used to be, and that they didn't love one another like they used to. While preparing my message in my prayer, I was reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, which says, "If I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." Because that mission group has to give glory to God, I thought, if its members worked for God without love, how improper that would be before God. So I decided to point out their lack of love and advise them to restore their love. But as I prayed again before I went to bed, this thought flashed across my mind. How does the Father God feel about this? So I asked the Father, "Father, I prepared this message on to them. How do you feel about this?" Then the same thing came to my mind. It was to restore their fervent first love. Even though the point of the message was the same, the way to deliver it was different. I originally intended to point out their lack of love, but the Father inspired me to tell them that they have to restore love because they would be happy when they love. Because the Father wants them to be happy, He wanted me to tell them to love more. If we are not happy and not spirit-filled, even while we pray and work faithfully, it's because we lack love. But we are overjoyed when we love. I figure that Father God really wants us to be happy. God assures us in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." This word was spoken to the Israelites when they were held captive. While they were in a hopeless situation, God comforted them. "I have plans for your welfare and to give you hope." In times of trials or trouble, do any of you doubt Father God's love for you and misunderstand Him? But our Father God wants us to be always happy in His love. He wants to provide us with what is the best. From the testimonies of the earlier mentioned church member who was healed of her ear problem, we find that Father God wants to give us spiritual blessing first, and then provide us with a physical blessing as well. He is the one who answers us the best way. As we know more about the Father, we only realize that His love and our Lord's grace has no limits. To remember myself living without the assurance of God's love and salvation, I feel all the more thankful for Senior Pastor who inscribed God's undeniable love in the depths of my heart. I appreciated his guidance. As for the deacon who was healed of his back problem, which he thought wouldn't be healed forever, he and his wife happily shared his testimony with a bright smile. As you saw them saying, joy and laughter has blossomed in our family. I think you also rejoiced with them. Even though he spent days of groaning in pain, such days led him to meet the living God and enjoy true joy. Our God, the healer, truly wants us to be happy through His power. So, even when we are faced with trouble or blocked by tall waves or high mountains, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because of His love that heals, restores, and perfects us, we can happily march on today. I pray that all of you enjoy good health, both physically and spiritually. Let's reflect on today's message in our prayer.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.